All right, let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Joshua. And chapter number 23. The title of the message tonight is, They Finally Made It Home. As I told you last night, I spent quite a bit of time of looking at, listening to Mercy Me songs, and they have that song, They Finally Made It. I start out in the wrong key, but it's home. And so as I was thinking about what I was going to preach, I titled it, They Finally Made It Home. We're talking about the children of Israel. And if you have been following along with us in the reading, I was thinking about, you know, here we are almost 4 months in, and how exciting that is. Lots of things I've thought about here. We've made it from the children of Israel all the way through the wilderness wanderings and all of that. But we're only in the book of Luke in the New Testament. So that's interesting to me. But here we are the children of Israel. And like I said, when you began with us in the book of Genesis in January, we began to hear of a promise. We began to hear in Genesis chapter number 3 about the one that would crush the serpent's head. We have been following that promise throughout the book of Genesis. We saw God calling Abraham and telling him to go into a place that he would tell him of, a place that he would show him, to a land that was unknown to him. As we have read through the early chapter, the early books in the Old Testament, we have learned of this promised land, this land where the children of Israel would be going. And as we have read, this promise has always been before us. We understood as we looked at that promise and have been reading, hopefully you recognize that the promise that God made to Abraham is that God was calling out a people, a special people unto him, a people that he would reveal himself to, a people who he'd give his word to, a people that with whom he would dwell. A people that was different than all the other people in the world. The children of Israel. And the promised land, the promise that God would provide for them deliverance. And so we've been looking for that promise and been thinking about that promise, and that promise has sort of always been in view. It's sort of like our own lives, isn't it? That promised land is always in view. And even though that promised land for the children of Israel was a real literal place, we know that it represents our journey through life, and that one day there's a promised place for us that Jesus has provided for us. So here we come to the book of Joshua. As we've looked at the book of Joshua, and we see the conquest as the children of Israel have gone into the promised land, and now they're sort of at the end. It says in Joshua 23 and verse 1, And it came to pass a long time after that the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies round about. They've made it home. The land that God told Abraham that he was going to give it to them. The promise to Isaac, the promise to Jacob. They're there. They're home. The pathway to get to the promised land has been a long pathway. It included 400 years in slavery in Egypt. They've had many ups and downs and twists and turns. If you remember what caused them to go into Egypt into slavery, first of all, was a famine in the land. The children of Israel have suffered great loss Remember those that began the journey, the adults that began the journey out of Egypt to the promised land, all of them died off. Some of them, God, because of their rebellion, thousands of them at a time perished because of their sin. So they've suffered great loss. But they've also experienced great victories. They've seen God do miraculous things, opening the Red Sea and them going across on dry land, and Moses calling water from a rock, and they've actually seen the presence of God come down on the top of Mount Sinai. They heard the literal voice of God. Great miracles that they've seen. Great victories. And we've seen how God led them to this place in a pillar of smoke and a pillar of fire at night. And a cloud directed them. We've seen how God led them to this place. And so as we have watched God lead them, we have been able to take the examples from that and learn that as God led the children of Israel, that God is leading us every day in our lives. We have seen how God taught the children of Israel that every blessing comes from Him and that they should wholeheartedly depend on Him. And as we've seen that lesson, and God taught them that lesson, that lesson has been burned into our minds also, that every gift comes from Him and that we should wholeheartedly trust Him. As you go through and you read the Bible and you see God working in the nation of Israel, those thoughts are burning our minds. So as we've done this study and we've read about the children of Israel and we've seen all that God has done for them, we can, like David says in Psalm 73:1, truly God is good to Israel. And if you look at what the children of Israel deserved and if you see what they have obtained, there is no doubt that God is good to Israel. We have seen that even though they've suffered along the way, they have received grace from God also. They've received many more blessings than their faithfulness deserved. In other words, often they were unfaithful, but God blessed them anyway. We have seen as we have gone through how it says that if we believe not, yet He abideth faithful, He cannot deny Himself. We can see the times when the children of Israel did not have the faith that they should have, but God was faithful to them anyway. Oh, how that lesson, we learned that lesson, that God is faithful to us who are His children, regardless. We may suffer along the way, but He's faithful to us. And so we read in our text how that God had given them rest from all of their enemies, which means the enemies no longer attacked them. You know that as you read the book of Joshua, that the children of Israel did not acquire all of the land that God had promised them. God had told them to drive all the inhabitants out of the land, and they chose to allow some of the inhabitants of the land to stay. And God said, if you let them stay, they're going to be a snare unto you. And we have seen how they have been a snare to them. Now we come to the place that Joshua is going to die. Up to this point, they've had a strong leader. You know, Moses and then Joshua. After Joshua's death, there's no real strong leader. How will the children of Israel fare with no strong leader? How will they follow God? Will they keep His word? Will they continue to prosper in the land of promise? In these final chapters of the book of Joshua, you will see God's warning to the children of Israel, or Joshua's words of warning to the children of Israel. Will they heed those words now that they've finally made it home? Or will they turn their backs? And will they make affinity with the people of the land? And will those people be a snare unto them? That's where we find ourselves today. I keep on thinking that I'm going to go to the New Testament and teach some things in the New Testament, but But there's so much that I feel like we need to cover in the old that I can't get away from it. So here we are in the book of Joshua. Let's read, and as we've already read, Joshua chapter number 23 and verse number 1, that God had given him rest. And then he says, "And Joshua called for all of Israel, and for their elders, and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers, and said unto them, I am old and stricken in age, and you have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he that hath fought for you." So Joshua calls the people together and he reminds them that, listen, you are here, you're in this land, you finally made it home, and you're here in this land because God has given it to you. God has fought for you. God has delivered this land into your hands. And he reminds them that God had given them the promise. Verse 4, "But behold, I have divided unto you by lot these nations that remain to be an inheritance for your tribes from Jordan, with all the nations that I've cut off even unto the great sea westward. And the Lord your God, he shall expel them before you and drive them out of your sight, and you shall possess their land as the Lord your God hath promised you." God has said, look, Joshua tells them, look, you've not yet acquired all the land that God has given you. You're here. You have rest from your enemies. Your enemies are no longer attacking you, but you've not yet accomplished the complete will of God. You've not completely acquired all that God has given you. Now listen, when you go, God's going to give you the land. God's going to drive these nations out. You just have to be faithful to do what God has asked you to do. Now, we know that the children of Israel did not drive all the inhabitants out of the land. We know that the children of Israel have not yet obtained all of the promised land. They never did end up acquiring all of the promised land because they did not follow the word of God. God had given it to them. God had promised it to them. But they didn't acquire all that God had promised them because they were not faithful. Because they didn't do all that God asked them to do. You know, there is a huge lesson in that for us. God has designed blessings for us if we're faithful. If we believe, if we do not continue on in faithfulness, there may be blessings that God has designed for us that we miss out on because we're not faithful to God. Remember this, when Jesus went to his own hometown, I believe it was, and it says, he couldn't do many miracles there because of their unbelief. In other words, there were miracles that Jesus could perform, and he wouldn't perform them because they didn't believe. Which tells us there are things that God would do in our life if we were faithful, if we would believe, if we would live apart from sin. What happened to the children of Israel? We saw it there in the life of Jesus. The same thing is true for us today. If we're not faithful, if we don't believe, there's some things that we could miss out on if we allow the world to creep in, so to speak. So God had promised them he's going to expel them out from before you and drive them out of their sights. And you shall possess the land as the Lord God has promised you. But we know they did not. Folks, that should stir our hearts to say, I want to make sure that I'm faithful to God in all things because I want to have all that God has designed for me. I don't want my unbelief to keep me from acquiring something that God has given me. He tells them in verse number 6, "Be therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that you turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left, that you come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them." So God says, you need to have courage. You need to have faithfulness. Come not among these nations. Keep yourselves separate from them. Do not make mention of their gods. if you read on, he says, verse number 8, but cleave unto the Lord as you have done unto this day. Listen, you're coming into this land, and you're going to go to this land that still has false gods in it, and there's people are dwelling there, but God's going to drive them out, and when God drives them out, destroy their idols, and don't even make mention of their gods. God's going to drive them out. So cleave unto the Lord your God with all your heart. Listen, God says, verse 9, for the Lord hath driven out from before you great nations and strong. But as for you, no man hath been able to stand before you unto this day. The nations that stood before them were really greater and stronger than they. But because God was fighting for them, God drove them out. There are battles that we will face in life that the situations are greater than we can bear. The enemies that we face may be stronger than us. But if we're trusting the Lord, He will drive them out for us. Let's keep that in mind. God drove them out. Notice what He says, one man of you shall chase 1,000. They had these mighty warriors. If you remember, I believe it was Caleb that was going to go up into his... And they say, hey, they've got chariots there. We can't go and fight them. They've got chariots. And God says, don't worry about those chariots. I'm greater than those chariots. One of you is going to chase 1,000. Now, think about that. Hand-to-hand combat. That's about all they had. You know, they might have had a few other things. They might have had, I don't know what that thing is called... You know, the big metal ball on the rod and the chain and whatever. They may have had some tools like that. They might have had some bows and arrows. They might have had some spears and things. But it was basically hand-to-hand combat. And how likely is it that one man is going to chase 1,000? One is going to chase 1,000. You might think that one man might beat 3 or 4 or 5, but one is going to chase 1,000 because God is going to fight for them. You see, there is no way that the enemy before them were so great, there's no way the children of Israel could defeat them on their own. But God says, look, I'm going to strengthen you so much that one of you is going to chase 1,000 of them. Why? Because God fighteth for you as He hath promised you. Listen, there's things that we're going to come up against in our lives, and we're going to say, I don't think I can handle this. This is too great for me. God's going to fight for you. And the enemy is great, but God's going to fight for you. And we need to recognize that. Greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. And I know that may not be exactly applicable in that in this situation, but we do need to understand that God on our side is greater than anything that we're going to face. And if we'll have faith in Him and trust in Him, He will help us acquire the purpose that He has for us. That's why Joshua says, look, there, verse 11, take good heed therefore unto yourselves that you love the Lord your God. Listen, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. You love God and you trust Him and allow Him to fight your battle for you. That's what Joshua was saying. Verse 13, know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you. Why would Joshua say that? Well, if you go back up to verse number 12, verse number 11 said, take good heed unto yourselves that you love the Lord your God. Else, if you do in any wise go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these nations that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them and go in and out among them, and they to you know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations before you. But they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. You turn away from God, don't expect the blessings of God to come your way. That's what Joshua was telling the children of Israel. Listen, if you turn your back on God, if you begin to make affinity with these other nations, if you begin to call upon the gods of these other nations, even though God has done these miraculous things for you in the past, and even though God has made great promises to you that you're going to acquire all of this promised land, and one of you is going to put 1,000 to flight, if you turn your back on God, the promises of God go with it. If you're going to serve idols, you can't expect God to work for you miraculously. If you're going to serve the world, you shouldn't expect God to do miraculous things in your life. Know for a certainty that the Lord will drive out any of these nations. And so, because they failed to drive the nations out, because they failed to break down the idols, because they began to take their daughters to wife, because they began to take their sons for their daughters, because they began to sacrifice upon those idols, those people were a drain upon them, and it removed the blessings of God from them. They began to be defeated. But it was first noticed in the fact that they were unable to acquire all the promises of God. The outcome of them going into captivity, you first began to see it by them not acquiring all of the promises of God. You know what? If you turn your back on God today, it may be a while before you go off into apostasy. It just may be noticed, first of all, by you not experiencing the blessings of God like you have in the past. It may be that some of the promises of God seem to not be there. And maybe you need to ask yourself if that's the case. Well, wait a minute, what's going on here? Maybe the problem is that you've made an affinity with the world and maybe you're not serving the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And the first place it's noticed is that you're not receiving all of the blessings and promises that you once did. And the problem might just simply be your heart is turning away from God. So Joshua warns them, verse 14, "And behold, this day I'm going the way of all the earth. And you know in all your hearts and all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass, and not one thing hath failed thereof." Not one promise has failed. "Therefore it shall come to pass that as all good things are come upon you which the Lord your God promised you, so shall the Lord bring upon you all evil things until he have destroyed you from all this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. When you have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods and bowed yourselves to them, then shall the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and you shall perish quickly from off the good land which he hath given you." God will keep his promises to Israel. Why? Because the promises of God are bigger than the children of Israel. They don't understand all the promises of God. They don't understand that the promises of God will be that among his people will be those from every kindred time, every kindred, tribe, people, and tongue. They don't understand that. We don't even understand that the promises of God are bigger than to his church. Some people are so onto the church that they think all that the New Testament is about the church and it's all about the church. No, it's bigger than that. The promises extend beyond the church. If you remember, from the book of Genesis on, it's been all about establishing the kingdom of God. And when Jesus comes, it'll be about Jesus setting up his kingdom. It's bigger than we can realize. The children of Israel didn't realize the far reaches of the promises of God, and neither do we. God is going to accomplish everything that he said he was going to accomplish in the nation of Israel. But the people in the moment miss out on the blessings because they do not wholeheartedly serve God. We want to take heed to the words of Joshua. And his warning to the nation of Israel, and to make sure that we don't lose out on the blessings of God because we're not heeding the warnings. We want to make sure that we receive all of the blessings we're supposed to receive, and we accomplish all the work that we're supposed to accomplish because we wholeheartedly serve the Lord. We make sure, because we're in the New Testament, we're in the time of the church, that we as a church do everything that we're supposed to do so we can remain faithful. Remember, and along with you all the way, even to the end of the world or the end of the age. That promise is only to the churches that remain faithful, to the churches that have the commission in mind, the churches that go and make disciples, the churches that have the mission of Christ, that they're the ones that's going to be present when the Lord returns. And so if we leave off the promises of God, we shouldn't expect the blessings of God. So the children of Israel, Joshua says, I go the way of all the earth. You know, I've thought a lot about one of these days, all of us are going to go to the way of the earth. And who's going to continue on? I'll tell you, I get a little bit excited when I see these new faces. And I start thinking about who's going to be carrying on for us in 25 years? You know, who's going to be teaching Sunday school? Who's going to be standing up on the doctrines of Emmanuel Baptist Church? Who's going to be doing that in 25 years? Some of these new faces are. They're going to be the ones that's doing that. That kind of excites me because you know that there's somebody going to come along and carry the torch, so to speak. And we should be preparing them. Because Joshua went the way of the earth, and so will all of us. And so we need to make sure that those who come behind us are prepared to carry on the work. And make sure that they don't, like the children of Israel, forsake God's ways. And that they stay true to them. And they understand the importance of that. And that's our responsibility, and that's our duty. That's why we should be training them up, so that they'll be able to take over the reins and lead. Or as I've thought about, who's the youngest one here? Adrian, is that you? Are you the youngest adult beside the twins? Are you younger than Jerry? But you know what I'm thinking? Adrian's going to be the leader one of these days. Marky, going to be the leader. The twins are going to be the leaders. Is that exciting? It should be. We're preparing them to take over for us. And let's make sure they know the way of truth so that they can continue on the work that God has given us to do. I'm really excited about all of that. I think about, you know, some of these younger girls, they're going to be teaching our Sunday school classes. It's exciting. But let's make sure that we don't turn away so that God removes his blessings from us and the church shrivels up and goes away because of our lack of faithfulness. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the truth, and we thank you for the example that you've given us through Joshua. I pray that you'll bless the preaching of your word, and I pray, God, that we will remain faithful, and that we will train those that are younger than us to take our places so that the leadership will be strong, and there will be someone to carry your torch into the next generations so that your gospel continues to be taught and your church continues on, so that when you do come in the clouds, your church will still be here faithfully serving you. Thank you for those that have come before us. I pray and I thank you for their faithfulness. And I pray, God, that those who come behind us will find us faithful also. Thank you for your son, Jesus. It is in his name we pray. Amen.